This morning, our reading for the sermon and for our series on our use of technology and screens and how it impacts our faith and how our faith can impact our usage comes to us out of the book of Ephesians in chapter 5, verses 8 through 21. And as we're going through hearing these words, some of these words can seem a little odd, maybe a little out of place. But when Paul would write these letters like Ephesians or Romans or Galatians, those were often letters of instruction, of teaching, of giving direction to the churches. And in the case of the church in Ephesus, where the letter to the Ephesians is written to, he had a connection. He had a personal connection there. So he had a vested interest and for the people who are there. And we can hear that interest today as we go through these words, and the interest that Paul, I would say, even has for us in our time and place. So I invite you to hear these words starting at verse 8 of chapter 5 out of Ephesians. "For once you were in darkness, but now in the Lord you are light. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true. Try to find out what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what such people do secretly, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible. For everything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, 'Sleeper, awake, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you.' Be careful then how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. So do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks to God the Father at all times, and for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Be subject to one another out of reverence for Christ." The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. When I think about how we are interacting with technology, with screens, and all the media that's before us, it's really amazing how all these forms of connection, all these forms of information, really are with us. It's amazing the amount of connection that we can have with each other. Last week, I talked about all the ways in which I know myself can connect with people, through telephone, through email, through Facebook, through Instagram, but through WhatsApp. I mean, you name it. There's all these different methods of communication. But we also live in an age where there's a lot of information, a lot of media being produced and conveyed, and that we have access to in a way that is absolutely mind-blowing. I found this graph, and I don't have a copy of this graph to share with you, but it was a graph that showed all the produced works, durable works, basically since the time, at the beginning of civilization to now. And it was a fascinating graph to look at, because it started off, in the ancient world had just, very few things, because, not many people, very, very few people knew how to write and to read. So you had very few works being produced. And then as time went on, a few more works came produced, after the Roman era into the Middle Ages and the era of, the monks and as they were producing documents and teaching and the rise of the universities. And then you get to the era of where the printing press comes, and it picks up even more works being produced. And then you come in to the 20th century, it jumps a bit. And then the last 30 years, it's almost a hockey stick of how much it skyrockets in the last 30 years. And it was just fascinating to see that trend just kind of going like this, and then bam, just off the charts. And in fact, they had to change the scale at the very top there to try to reflect just how much more durable works are out there that we can either watch, we can read, or listen to. And so we live in an age really where we are, so much information, so much media is given to us, and it's so readily accessible. For a while, I was a subscriber to YouTube TV, and I remember being fascinated how I could be on the road and watching the broadcast station from Denver on my phone. I thought that was just a marvel of technology to be able to do that. And if we go, into our homes, we sit down at the television, the great amount of programs and content that is produced for television is at a rate that is just unprecedented right now. Used to be you'd have just a few works, like MASH or Cheers. You know, those were works or television programs that people watched, and many people would watch that. And like the finale of those shows would be an event. You know, Friends would be in the same vein right here of the 80, 90 million and 100 million people watching one television program together. And now with such a diversity of content, that is not quite the case. We have no things produced to match our interests, and so easy to access all these things. So we have a lot out there, a lot of information. But when we think about how we interact with this, it can be overwhelming. It can be too much. But I believe our faith speaks into our usage of this content, of the media, of how we use technology. Our faith, for example, actually has benefited from technology. Right here, even holding in my hand, the Holy Bible, all the Old Testament and the New Testament, the fact that we even have it today is a product of technology. Of the time that Paul would have been writing this letter, when he would write letters, he had to make them count because they were hard to produce and difficult to mail to another church. But the fact that we have written documents that are 2,000 or 3,000 years old that we use today, I believe, is absolutely fascinating. And with technology, too, if you think about how Paul was able to go on his missionary journeys using the roads the Roman Empire had built and using the ships that were available of his time to go across the Eastern Mediterranean world. And on and further, past the age of the apostles, the age of Paul, when we get into the early church fathers and their writings when they are out in the desert, Athanasius, Tertullian, all these folks, we have their written words today. Then you see even how Martin Luther was translating the Bible into German. That was in the age of the printing press. And it was the Holy Bible was now made available for people to read. They could have a copy of it if they had the funds, a copy of it in their home, when before there was maybe one copy of the scriptures in a town, and that was all that was available. So we can see early in our history how we have benefited from technology as a people of faith. But because of our longstanding connection with how our faith has used the technology of its time, we have a place to speak into our current age, our current time. And that's where I believe these words from the Apostle Paul are so important for us to help guide our usage, help guide how we interact. If you have your Bible open, you look at verse 15 of chapter 5 out of Ephesians. Those verses 15 and 16, it says here, "Be careful then how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil." I certainly remember growing up being told by teachers, by my parents, to manage my time better. So I get assignments done, I get chores done. I think about today, there's a high value placed on time management. It's important to use our time well. So we can kind of get behind this idea of living as as wise people, not as unwise people, and making the most of time. But then Paul kind of throws in this curveball there on the back end of verse 16, because the days are evil. And when I read my first, when I was going through, preparing for study, that really stood out to me. Why would Paul add that line in there? Because the days are evil. But it was so grounded in his present time, knowing that our lives, especially at that point, there were so many things that could happen to a person that were so beyond their control. They lived in a time where the Roman Empire was completely unsure of Christianity, unsure of this new faith. And so there was difficulty of living out your faith, of being engaged in faith. And so if you're thinking about those things right there, you know, you don't have antibiotics, so if you're sick, most likely you will die. If you're thinking about how you may be ostracized from your community because you're a Christian, certainly it would seem like the days are evil. So then let's make the most of it. Let us live as wise people, not as unwise. And in some ways, we can see how perhaps our days could be evil as well. How there could be things in our days that pull us from what's important. How all the distractions that we have present, the challenges that we face. So in some ways, even though this was written almost 2,000 years ago, it still speaks to us. Maybe the circumstances have changed, but there is still difficulty. There's still challenge. With all, like particularly speaking about technology and media that we have available to us, I mean, there's such an incentive for developers, for creators, for coders and companies to use all of this information, all of this media to distract us, to pull us away from our daily lives so we can keep our eyeballs on the content. We keep our eyeballs on the program. Or in the app, or in front of the television. Because so much of how the revenue model is generated, where displaying ads is a way of for them to make money, where keeping us engaged means we're not on doing something else. Now, in good balance, this is fine. I mean, certainly companies have to make a living, people have to make a living. But we live in an age where there are so many distractions that can pull us away from the things we value, the things that we love, and more importantly, from our God who values and loves us, and the people in our lives who we value and appreciate. I'm mindful of an encounter I had this last year when I was traveling with Christina's family, and we were up in Yellowstone at Old Faithful, and I'm there with my camera, so I'm not coming from a moral high ground on use of technology and natural spaces or anything right there, but I'm there with a camera, you know, ready for Old Faithful to erupt. And if you've not been to Yellowstone, Old Faithful is the geyser that people go to see. And they've got boardwalks put up and seats put up. I mean, for many, many people can watch Old Faithful when it erupts, and it's worth seeing. But what stood out to me this last time was not the picture taking or people videoing Old Faithful. I mean, I've done that myself. What stood out to me this time is as folks were pulling out their devices, they were trying to get online, get on the internet. And because they were so focused on getting on the internet for whatever reason it would be, they were missing that eruption of Old Faithful. It's only like a 2.5 minute eruption, on average. It's not long at all. And certainly you can come back in 90 minutes and watch it erupt again. But what stood out to me at that moment was how that technology, that desire to get on the internet, was circumventing, this natural wonder in front of us, one of our national treasures, and how I see, a sign of how God's creative power in the natural world. It blew my mind, that level of distraction. That was new there. And the Park Service, they have no cell phone coverage, but it's just, mostly to make a phone call or call if you're in real trouble. But that moment stood with me, and it got me to thinking about what are the other times and places that I myself am distracted, that the tools that we are blessed with, the technologies that we are blessed with, pull me away from moments that matter. How often has my own phone pulled me away from spending time with my family? How has the use of watching a television program whenever I want pulled me away from my spiritual practices? And it really was a time of reflection, for me, of seeing that. And certainly there are times when we are just distracted. We've had a bad day at work or no legitimate distraction. So I don't want to say distraction is bad. It happens to all of us. But I believe Paul is inviting us. He invites us to being intentional, to discipline in our consumption and use and interaction with technology. And I will admit, when I hear that word discipline, I think about my second grade teacher who would say, you know, you need to be more disciplined and have a ruler in her hand as she was saying that. So it gives me the hibbity-jibbities every time I say, you know, that word discipline. But there's value to discipline. There's value to this. It keeps us, you know, grounded. It frees us, I believe, from all the distractions that can pull us away from what's important. There's value in that. There's value of living as wise people and not being unwise. There's value in making the most of our time because the days are evil. And Paul's inviting us into that intentionality, to being disciplined, and more importantly, being grounded in the hope that comes from our God, from the light that comes from our God, the light that comes from Christ. He's calling us to reflect that light as well. I believe as a people of faith, we can invite others into that discipline of being grounded in our use of technology so we can use it, we can keep it as a blessing in our lives and the blessings of others. We can use that technology to proclaim the goodness of God, to proclaim the hope that we have in God, but also to keep ourselves and others mindful and intentional about what truly matters, about what truly matters in our lives as being followers of God, as being a people of God, and connected with each other. It can seem daunting with all the distractions that we have, but I believe there is hope. There is a way forward. So I invite us as a people of faith to be disciplined in our usage of technology, to let it proclaim the hope that we have in God, for it not to distract us and pull us away, but to stay rooted in what matters, and that grace, and that presence, and that love of God that we are called to proclaim and live into now and forevermore. Amen.